Well, welcome to the podcast. It's yes. Transformed by Truth.
Limited edition.
Limited special special edition.
Because they have special people on right now.
Exclusive.
Is that me?
We just have a whole list of names that we could call this.
Yeah.
We want to welcome you back. We're excited to be having this conversation together. If we haven't met yet, my name is Kirsten Warden. I'm one of the youth pastors here, and I'm joined by two powerhouses next to me.
Yes, I'm Samuel Warden. I am the other youth pastor.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I'm Mike Krasta, Director of Prayer Ministries with my wife, Kathy.
Yeah.
And you are full of wisdom, and we're going to jump in soon.
Let us hope so.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Well, let's do it. Let's waste no more time and let's get into the content that we are hoping to go over today.
Why we're all here, right?
Why we all gather today. Yeah. How many of you have just absolutely loved your 1 year Bible? All of us. We loved it. I'm super curious on how it's kind of, we've talked about this together. Mm. We're married. Same last name. It all makes sense.
Yeah. God bless you.
You're welcome. Oh, yeah, sure. But we talked about how it's kind of gone into our devotion time in like a kind of different way than what 100%. We were anticipating. We've never done the 1 year Bible. Now, I grew up doing Bible plans. Mm-hmm. It was something my parents would pay us $5 if we'd finish the month.
Maybe Mike and Julie will pay people $5 to do the 1 year Bible.
It was a big deal for us. So I grew up with the sheet and we'd check it off. And that became part of my rhythm growing up.
Yeah.
But I've never done this specific where it kind of jumps you in and out of different pieces of the Bible.
Yeah.
And it's been super interesting for me to kind of use this devotionally and be like, God, what are you saying today?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that's what I've noticed. What about you guys?
Yeah. Michael, how about you? Like, is this your first time?
No. I actually follow a different plan that I found online, and I've been doing that for 4 years.
Okay.
Gotcha.
So this is my fifth year now reading the whole Bible.
Wow.
And I'm really loving it. I really am.
Yeah. This is my first year doing something like this. Like, I've done the chronological Bible before.
Yeah.
I typically read through the Bible like twice a year, like just personally, like I just like to read. So I just keep reading. But this has been super interesting that I don't have to think about what I'm reading. I just literally open it up, look for the day, and then just start going. But what's been your guys' experience? Michael, I'll start with you. What's been your experience reading the 1 year Bible? Like, what have you noticed? Have you seen some shifts or anything like that? Yeah.
Well, I can't say, I mean, like I said, I'm kind of familiar with it.
Yeah.
And so what I found, though, that as I read more of it, I understand more of it. And so when I come to it this year, I have a greater picture of what I'm reading. And what I mean by that is, as you read scripture, you get understanding.
Mm-hmm,
as you get understanding and read scripture, you get more understanding and makes you want to read more. So it's actually a thrill for me right now.
Yeah. Kirsten, how about you? What's been your experience?
Yeah, I think it's been different than what I was necessarily intending. I've done different plans and I every single year try to do a different plan. I'm like a it's not that I don't like routine. I actually desperately need it, but I like to switch it up quite a bit. So I've really loved just the difference of the content that I'm consuming. Normally, last year I went through the Gospels in a year and really like slowly went through the Gospels, which was really, really good. Another year I did the
Shred.
I did the Shred, which is reading the Bible in 1 month, which that is
the whole Bible.
The whole Bible.
Intense.
In 1 month.
That's why it's called the Shred.
Oh my goodness. Do you remember anything?
It's like a helicopter view.
It's kind of like that.
That's hard.
Yeah, it's interesting.
I at one point was like, I think the Bible's giving me a headache. Because I also I listened to it and I was like, this is a lot of content. But it was still a good practice. I did that. Right.
Yeah.
And some of it is like that accomplishment thing that like, oh wow, that was really cool. And again, it's like the Bible is so unique. It's not just a book we read. It actually transforms our life. Like, and even shredding through it in a month, I felt the power of God in that. And it was good. But I've really loved just the simplicity, the like ease of not knowing, not necessarily being like, oh, what should I read today? Or I liked the like kind of laid out plan for me. It feels really nice, especially in the season of life that I'm in.
Yeah. To me, I kind of like looked at it as a tool. I think very analytically and like how do things like actually benefit. And so for me, this has been like a great tool to shape me into the person that I want to become, which is reflecting Jesus. And so it's been a beautiful way like to use it just as a tool. Like, so for me, I don't read it in the morning. I read it before I go to bed. And so that way I'm thinking about the Psalms and Proverbs typically when I wake up.
Okay.
And so, yeah, this has been just a tool that I think to constantly keep me in communion with God. Mm-hmm. And I think that's out of anything, like if you miss a day, I've missed a day. I probably have missed two, to be honest. But like, I think if you miss a day, it's not the perfection that we're going after.
No.
We're tracking progress to being with Jesus.
Yeah.
And so I think that is an initial thing of why people may struggle with stuff is like if they miss a day.
Yeah.
It's like, oh no, like yeah, I, you no. know what I mean? Does that make sense?
You can't do that. No, it's to me, it's about letting the word encounter you.
Yeah, yes. That's good.
And people have said this before. It's not original to me, but you let the word read you instead of reading the word.
Yeah.
And so as you come along a passage and the Spirit is saying, touch that, camp out there.
Yeah.
We want to have the freedom to be able to do that because that's where the transformation is.
Yeah. Right? Oh, 100%. Yeah. Yeah, it's not always just speeding through whatever the daily reading is. It's doing it with the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit highlights.
Yeah.
And sometimes he does say pause.
Right.
I like to talk about it like almost like, do you guys remember the show Blue's Clues?
Yeah.
Where there was like dog prints on things and you'd go around and you put together the Blue's Clues. And at the end of it, you could figure out what Blue was saying.
Yeah.
Oftentimes when I read the word, I feel like the Holy Spirit like puts a little print on it. And he's like, stay there.
Yeah.
What's this?
Yeah.
Let's dig into that. And I love the freedom of being able to pause and again, missing a day, but also are you letting the word read you? Are you actually like feeling?
Well, and I think people have to remember that there are parts of scripture that are so packed and so loaded. I'm talking about one liner.
Yeah.
You know, and I've got a couple I want to share.
Well, I was going to ask you next. Yeah. Like our goal as 30-year-olds is to just pull from your wisdom. So have there been some scriptures that have stood out to you or passages that you're like, man, if we could just talk about this. You know what I mean? Like, let's do it.
There's several.
Okay, let's go for it.
You've seen that before, right? Oh, yeah. You get to a one line and you realize it is like, so loaded.
Somehow your eyes are opened and you see it in a new way. And you're like,
whoa. You could think about it for a long time. For example, when God says in Genesis, where are you?
Yeah.
Adam replies, I love that.
Yeah.
I heard you in the garden,
yep.
but I was afraid because I was naked,
yep.
so I hid.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That one line to me is the foundation of all healing.
Yep. Yeah.
Why? Because what you have there is you've got shame.
Yep.
That's what nakedness really means. Because
The
man and his wife were both naked, but they felt no shame. So there's now we know what shame is. It's a feeling, but we also know it's something else.
Yeah.
It's a lie.
Yeah.
So you got shame. Mm-hmm. I was afraid because I was naked. So once we're shamed, we start to have fear because we don't want to go into that situation again because we'll be ashamed of it. So what do we do?
Yeah.
We hide.
Yeah.
And how do we hide? Well, they hid from the Lord in two ways.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In the trees.
Yep. With some fig leaves into the trees.
And the fig leaves. Yeah. Yeah. Two ways. Yep. They chose to hide who they really were. So there's the true self.
Yeah. Yeah.
This one line
has
got everything. And God says, I love this part. God says, who told you that you were naked? So now we have a clue. Well, who was there with them?
Yeah.
There was only one other being there.
Yeah.
That was the devil. The devil had to say something to them that made them think they were shameful.
Yeah.
So they hid.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. I mean, just that I can feel the Holy Spirit as you're talking.
Come on now.
Yeah. Like, but what I love about that is that when God asks, where are you? It's not like he didn't know.
Right.
Of course not.
I think in that moment, he didn't ask, what have you done? He just asked, where are you?
Yeah.
And I think sometimes when we read scripture, we have those conviction moments where like, oh, God sees X, Y, and Z. I think that where are you is because he doesn't want you to feel those things.
Right. Yeah.
If he says, I know what you did, then you're like, oh, I've got to go run. But it's interesting how he asked, where are you? Even though he knew where they were.
That's right. And
did they know where they were?
You're hitting on something that it plays out in Genesis 4.
Yeah.
If you noticed how God talks to his child, Cain, with Cain's sin, go look at that passage.
Yeah.
God opens up with five questions.
Mm-hmm.
Question.
Yeah.
What have you done? Where's your brother? Why is he asking questions? You just hit on it.
Yeah.
It's to get the heart to engage with what really happened. Yeah. God knows the answer.
Yeah. Right. I mean, that moment in Genesis, in that garden moment, is the first picture that you see a need for a savior.
Amen.
And I love that because
we
see that in a perfect world, we still need a perfect savior.
Yeah.
And so it's like, if we think we all would have been better in Eden, well, we're not.
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
Like they were the perfect first. And so it's like, there's just a level of, I think, as you read the scripture, and maybe this can even talk about like some of the conviction you feel when you read.
Yeah.
Like, Michael, what do you do with that? I think sometimes when we read scripture, I've had this happen where the passage has nothing to do with God's dealing with in my heart.
Yeah.
But conviction comes. I think sometimes people will either push that down, and maybe we can talk about what conviction is.
Yeah.
Or they'll head first into it. So can you talk about, like, what is conviction as you're reading? What are some indicators? What are some things of why we kind of push things down, and what are the reasons why we should face things head on?
Well, you could tie it to that scripture that I just said. Yeah. I think we're afraid.
Yeah. Mm.
It's true that we don't know our own hearts.
Yeah.
We have to get this point.
Yeah.
We don't know the motives that are in our hearts. Mm. Paul said in Corinthians, he said, how did he put it? He said, my conscience is clear.
Yeah.
But that doesn't make me innocent. Mm-hmm. It's the Lord who judges me. In other words, wow. I could have things buried in my heart that I'm unaware of. Motives.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I'm giving to the poor and I'm thinking I'm being a good Christian, but actually I'm doing it for pride and I'm not aware of that.
Yeah. Yeah.
So what does the word do?
Yeah.
The word, now we're in Hebrews 4, right? Mm-hmm. The word is living and active.
Sharper than a two-edged sword.
And it cuts to dividing soul and spirit. Yeah. So it's the word of God that comes into Mike's heart that opens his heart up and says, here's your motive, Mike. Yep. This stinks.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you're really sensitive to the Lord, you're going to want to respond to that. It does stink. It hurts.
Yeah.
When he points out something that you didn't know was there, it hurts. But he pointed it out so that we get free in that area and there's more joy that comes once we get that over to
him. I think what you just said is the point, though. When he points it out, it hurts, yet he's still the healer.
Yeah.
And it's like if we would keep that forefront of that, when he pokes on that part in your heart that's like, that's got to go.
Yeah.
Because it's not what I died for.
Yeah, yeah.
Like when that happens, it's like a healing balm will come after.
Right,
that's just what I imagine every time let's walk through that. But.
Well, you remember when I think it's the end of John, John's gospel, and John is there and Peter is there and Jesus is walking with Peter and it says Peter turns, right? Remember that? Okay, that passage, in that passage, God deliberately hurts Peter. Three times. Mm. Do you love me?
Yeah.
And the third time it says Peter was hurt.
Yeah.
Mm. What? What? Why is God?
Right. Yeah.
Well, Peter is getting in touch with Peter.
Yeah.
His true self is now coming out right there. It's just beautiful.
Yeah. That's
it's
so
beautiful.
Good. All right, what's another scripture?
But hold on.
Yeah, go ahead.
We're not done with the
Mike was like, I'm locking in.
We just got started on
it. Yes.
I think that scripture is the foundation of all healing.
Yeah. Mm.
Right?
Yeah.
So back to shame. We said they felt no shame.
Yeah.
So it's a feeling, but shame is also a lie.
Mm.
Yeah.
It's a lie.
Yeah.
There's something wrong with you.
Yeah.
That's not true.
Yeah.
The man and his wife were naked, but they felt no shame. There was no shame to nakedness until the enemy spoke a word.
Yeah.
Hey, that's bad. You are bad. Something really wrong with you.
Yeah.
This needs to be taught in our healing classes.
Yeah, that's good.
This is the foundation of shame, lies, fear, and hiding in the false self.
Yeah. That's
It's all right,
guys.
There.
Well, that was it.
I mean, it's all there.
Let's just meditate on that for a month.
Yeah.
You know?
And you've heard me talking, but I love to talk about the true self and the false self, and the personas that we wear, the antics that we put on.
You did that at our youth conference, right?
I don't know.
At a workshop?
I don't know.
I think you did.
Everywhere.
And people literally got, I think it was like 2 years ago.
That's when they all walked out, I think.
No, that's where a lot of kids that we heard got healed from issues that were going on in their life.
Well, maybe so, but you know, people don't want to hear. Nobody wants to hear. Kirsten, that, you know, we're wearing a mask.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We have fig leaves on.
Right.
Psychologically, it's a persona. It's a fake self. I mean, you remember when you were younger.
Yeah.
We all put on fake, you know, we wanted to be like somebody, so we faked it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not who we are.
Man.
And God wants to see us face to face, true face to true face.
Right. That's so good.
That's right. And that's sweet. One scripture.
One scripture.
And we're not even done. So anyway, but here's another one.
Yeah.
I got it.
Give me another one.
All right. So we're at the end of Genesis now, right? And Joseph and his brothers had just, Joseph hasn't revealed himself yet, but they go back to Jacob.
Yeah.
And they say, hey, Jacob, this guy wants to take Benjamin.
Yeah.
Right? And Jacob says this phenomenal line, everything's against me.
Mm-hmm.
Wait a second, Jacob, what's really true here?
Yeah.
Right.
He thinks his son Joseph is dead. He's not dead.
Yeah.
In fact, the one you think is dead is now second in command over Egypt.
Right.
Yeah.
Everything's against you, really.
Yeah.
Right? And Benjamin is not going to be imprisoned.
Yeah.
And he says, Simeon is gone. Well, Simeon is just being temporarily held. Mm-hmm. Jacob believes everything in the world is against me here.
Yeah.
But he's exactly wrong.
Mm.
God is working out this magnificent plan that's going to involve saving Israel, saving Egypt, and saving surrounding nations because Egypt has food. Why do they have food? Because Joseph is there.
Yep.
Man.
He's totally wrong. So how many times do we look at circumstances and we draw this conclusion, oh, man. This
Everything's against me.
Everything's against me. Yeah. But the truth is God's got this other plan way above us that he's working out. That's where faith has got to tap into.
Well, I was going to, so that would have been my follow-up question, Kirsten, jump in anytime. I just, like, as you're talking about that, how do we combat those things, right? I think what happens is we feel the everything's against me.
Yeah.
And then, you know, we hear the what people would call the church response.
Like?
You know, faith. But that is the answer. So how do we fight that narrative of going like, well, this is just what people say, but they don't know what's really going on. Like, how do we, as pastors, leaders, and people, like, when you do feel opposition, like, what do you do? What's your first thing that you do to combat that? Because Jacob didn't combat it.
No.
He didn't combat it. It was...
He didn't have any,
So, yeah, what do you do for that? So I know you said faith, but like, what does that look like?
You mean when my circumstances?
Yeah, when your Michael Crasta's circumstances are coming against him.
Yeah,
how do you combat that? Because I think when we can break that down for people, we start finding like real life scenarios that reflect our real life scenarios.
Yeah, well, you know? I do what most people do. I cave in a lot of the time.
Yeah,
I cave in. But then, as you do that enough, you start to realize, wait a minute, I have a choice in this situation on how I can choose to react.
Yeah.
And I can get, this happened to me the other day. I was very discouraged the other day. Very, very discouraged. Yeah. I felt the Lord say to me, Mike, how long do you want to choose that?
Mm.
Yeah.
Well, you mean I'm choosing this? Yeah, exactly right. Yeah. You're choosing it. Okay. I don't want to choose it. I unchoose it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I just said a prayer, like, Lord, I don't want this. I don't want to agree with this. No, I'm not going to partner with discouragement.
Yeah.
And that's one thing that I do. And as soon as you start doing that, you've just done a kingdom thing.
Yeah.
And now the kingdom can come into that situation.
Yeah. And I think that's where the one-year Bible is going to come into play as well. Like when we start having reference points in scripture.
Amen.
Like Jacob.
To draw from.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Oh, I'm not going to make that decision.
No way.
You know? Yeah. I'm actually going to go in by faith and say, actually, Lord, this is happening to me, but I know you're above this.
Yeah. Amen.
You're working in the midst
so
of this.
Beautiful.
You know?
Yeah.
So.
Well, you also see that in Romans 4.
Yeah.
Where it's talking about Abraham.
Yeah.
Right? I just love that. I love this line. Here's another line. Abraham faced the fact that his body was as good as dead.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Did he deny?
No.
Right.
Did he pretend he wasn't 100 years old?
Yeah.
He didn't pretend.
Yeah.
He didn't deny. He faced it. I'm 100 years old.
Yeah.
I'm still going to believe this God of mine.
I feel the Holy Spirit so much as we're talking.
Isn't it exciting, though?
Yeah.
It excites me.
We're going to pause for just a second.
Yeah.
Because I really felt, as Michael was sharing, that you're listening to this and you're like, the circumstances in my life are that I feel like everything is against me.
Amen.
And I can totally level with that. I'm in a season when it's been very, very hard on my physical body.
Yeah.
I totally level with that. And it's not that you're denying the facts, right, Abraham?
Right.
And
don't
we're
pretend.
Not denying the facts that things are not going your way or they feel heavy. But I believe even now, like as the word of the Lord is shared, that there is freedom and there is breakthrough. That's the beauty of the scriptures. That there's actual kingdom encounters on each page of the Bible.
Let it be.
That there are kingdom encounters. So I'm going to pray right now. We're going to continue with the podcast.
Yeah. I like it.
But I want to just go into this. Yeah, right now, wherever you're at, wherever you're listening, wherever you're watching, I even really feel like there's somebody right now like on a treadmill. And I want to just encourage you to invite the Holy Spirit wherever you're at right now. If you're driving, you could keep your eyes open. He's still there. But I really just want to take a second and I'm going to pray that you would feel the strength of heaven. That as he was describing, that Jacob didn't know that all of heaven was orchestrating things behind the scene. That in the same way in your life right now, the Lord has got you and he's got your back and he's got a bigger plan. So right now, Holy Spirit, we thank you for each person listening.
Yeah.
And God, right now what we ask is not that we'd be able to deny our circumstances, but that we would choose you in the midst of it.
Yes.
So come be a very present. We thank you, Holy Spirit, that you're a very present help in time of need. And we ask that you would come to each person,
Jesus,
that you would give them the strength, not to just get through, but that they would find you in the middle of whatever storm they're facing, and that it would become more real. You'd become more real today than you were yesterday. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Okay,
amen.
We can continue on, but I just, you know, when you feel
so I'm going to, go ahead, you finish.
Hold on.
So for those of you watching, this is Michael and I's life here. It's always just like,
You got to make a connection to like the healing ministry that's out there today. There are a lot of Christians who believe they get a diagnosis.
Yeah.
and they believe they're supposed to pretend that.
I was getting ready to go to this, so I'm glad you are.
It's not there.
Yeah.
You don't pretend that you don't have it. If the best of medical science says you've got X, Y, and Z, you've got X, Y, and Z.
Yeah.
Faith is not denying fact.
Yeah.
You're literally saying what I was saying in my head. This is weird.
But am I right, though?
Yeah.
You don't deny the fact. He faced the fact.
Yeah.
But he said, but this God can surmount the fact.
Yeah.
Yep.
But you got a lot of pretenders out there. Yeah. I'm not really sick.
Yeah.
No, by his stripes, I'm healed.
Yeah. That is a promise.
Yeah, it is a promise. But you don't want to deny reality.
Yeah.
That's not faith, is what I'm trying to say.
So what is faith? What's the definition of faith? Tell us what the
faith
definition
is. Faith is facing reality and still believing there's a higher reality.
Yeah, it's the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of the things not seen.
That's
so
right.
If I see a fact, my faith doesn't go there.
That's
right. It goes, that is what's happening. Now, God, what are you saying?
That's right.
And I think that is the that's the part where we can make faith real and accessible.
Yeah.
I remember Kirsten, she, with her gallbladder having that emergency surgery, we had faith that God was going to heal her in the emergency room 5 minutes before the surgery.
Uh-huh.
The fact was, I'm not going to let her sit at home in that much pain, toppled over.
No.
Where they're like, this is infected. We went to the doctor because we knew there was something wrong.
That's right.
It's not that doctors are doing anything wrong. It's the reality of going now I know how to pray and I'm going to contend, but the fact says she still has to have this out unless God intervenes.
Yeah.
And so my faith is in God.
Yeah.
But I'm also following that process.
Yeah, it's both and.
Yeah,
and if we could get that across to people, so we've got to quit denying.
Disappointment would start diminishing a little.
Oh, come on. Yeah. And then, so.
Yeah, we could go 1,000 miles. Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Have there been any hard questions in our reading or any parts of that you want to just chat about?
Because Lot's wife.
Yeah.
I don't get Lot's wife.
Yeah, I don't either.
And there's so many parts of that just don't make any sense.
Yeah. So let's go into it. Give us a little bit of the backstory.
So the angel says, don't stop anywhere on the plain.
Yeah.
And don't look back.
Yeah. So this is after Abraham contends with the Lord for Sodom and Gomorrah to get his Lot out and his family.
That's the context.
Yep. And now they're walking. Angel says to her.
Angel's leading, leading him out.
Yep.
And he already told him, don't stop and don't look back.
Yep.
So I don't know what the order of the people was.
Yep.
Probably Lot.
Yeah.
Maybe his two daughters and then his wife picking up. And this is so cool when you think about it. Why couldn't she look back?
Right.
Yeah.
I would want to look back.
See what's going on.
What you're doing.
What'd you just save me from?
All these people are screaming behind you and there's lights.
There's
and
fires
coming and I can't look. I mean, that bothers me a little bit.
Yeah.
Number two, why did she have to die?
Mm.
Number three, why they couldn't even take a body home with them?
Yeah.
She turned into a pillar of salt.
Yeah.
What's that all about? I mean, did they get to Zor?
Yeah.
I think Zor was the city.
Yeah.
Did they get there and go, hey, where's mom?
Right.
Yeah.
Oh.
Or did they see it happen? They're like, well,
they couldn't see it.
Because they couldn't look back either.
They couldn't look back.
I didn't even think about that right now.
They couldn't look back.
Yeah.
So she had to be last.
Yeah.
Wow.
Because if you were a daughter and mom in front of you turns around and becomes a pillar of salt.
Yeah.
I mean, there are problems with it, which I think are fun problems.
Yeah.
These don't bother me.
Yeah.
But they're fun to pick apart.
Yeah.
Why did she have to die?
Yeah.
How come they couldn't take the body back?
Yeah. Well, I think these are the questions, though, Michael, that you're asking that, we should ask as we're reading.
Yeah.
But
it bothers me.
Yeah. It's kind of weird. You're like, this doesn't really make. Has there been anything that has actually caused you to have to, dive a little deeper in? Any passages where you've kind of, I know you've talked about Genesis, we've gone to Hebrews, Romans. Has there been anything that's really caught you to where you're like, oh, I need to look into that a little bit more in this?
Let me think. Nothing's really coming to mind. There have been passages that have made me want to try to cross-reference the passage with other parts of the Bible.
Do you have one on your mind right now?
Enoch.
Okay.
Yeah. So Enoch, you know this. Yep. He walked with God.
Till he was no more.
And then he, meaning his self, right? He was no more, meaning his physical self too. But so he's up there somewhere in a physical body. Where is that?
Yeah.
How can you have a physical body in a non-physical realm? Yeah. Or is it a physical realm? I don't know.
Yeah.
But also we know that Elijah was taken up bodily.
Yeah.
So we know there's two guys up there that we know of in bodies.
Just vibing out with Jesus.
Yeah. So what I do is I try to, so here's where reading the Bible is really important. So you go to Revelation,
yep.
there's a situation there, I think it's Revelation 10. Mm-hmm. There are these guys called the two witnesses mm-hmm. that appear at the end of the age, and they're going to prophesy mm-hmm. for 3 days, and then they're going to die, and then God's going to resurrect them. Mm-hmm. Well, let's see now. There's two guys that I know of that haven't died.
Yeah.
It was Elijah and Enoch. Mm-hmm. Are those the two guys That's that so are going to come back at the end of the age yeah. and then they'll get to experience death like all of us?
Yeah, wow.
That's how I play with this. And that's where reading the scripture helps reading the scripture.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
You can now associate things that look alike.
Yeah.
And maybe you won't solve it.
Yeah.
But
it's fun.
I think God enjoys it when
if you seek me, you'll find
when
me.
When we seek this and we hunt and we... Yeah. We search out mm-hmm. these mysteries that he's right. embedded in the scriptures. So read the scriptures as if you are looking for mysteries.
Mm. Yeah.
Now it becomes really exciting.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. I don't know if I answered your question.
No, I think that's great. Yeah.
Yeah. It reminds me of Proverbs when it talks about that it is of kings to search out mysteries.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And I love that. Yeah, and there are so many mysteries in the Bible and in the Word of God that it is a joy. It's the Blues Clues thing I was talking about at the beginning, where you are searching and you're,
what are
you saying, Lord? And being able to flip from New Testament to Old Testament to the beautiful poetry in the middle, he's in all of it. And it's one story the whole way through. And
excellent.
I think that is so, especially as we getting ready to navigate into some of the heavier content scriptures in the Old Testament with Leviticus and Numbers, there is so much beautiful Jesus.
Oh, amen.
Dripping in every single book.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's really, truly finding tools to help you search that out. I think one of the things I love to do book by book, the Bible Project has, you're going into a new book, here is a video that explains the overview.
Yeah. Opens it up for you.
Love to, especially going into a new book, taking a second, mm-hmm. watching those videos, and it gives me a good overview perspective. And some of the things I might miss in my just like reading, but it's a great tool. So I encourage you, if you haven't looked at the Bible Project videos, you should, because they're so helpful.
Yeah. And this, particularly the One Year Bible, is a great tool. If you've never read through the Bible, or maybe you have before and you feel like, oh, I don't know what's happening, this is a great way to just read the Bible through in a year. So then you become familiar with what's going on in certain things. Yeah, I was going to ask you for the last 60 to 90 seconds.
Yeah.
What is some wisdom or some advice you'd give people engaging with the One Year Bible? What would you say, hey, try this for the next week or two?
Yeah, I mentioned this on Sunday. Ask the Holy Spirit to come before you read.
Yeah.
Would you show, Spirit of Truth given to us, right? Would you show me what I need to see? Would you guide me? Yeah. Lord, show me something new about you today. You know, I think it's real important, like you said, to read with a purpose. I'm reading to find out something. I'm discovering something. I think that's when it really gets exciting.
Yeah. Man, would you pray that over everyone? Would
you just
pray
Father, that? Yeah, Father, we all thank you for your word. Your word is living. Your word is active. Father, we thank you so much. Father, would you open our understanding? Mm-hmm. Would you widen the scope of our understanding? And Father, would you give us a hunger and a thirst that's mm-hmm. unnatural? To read your word, to grow in your word, and to feed on it. Would you do that for us, Lord? Everyone listening and for our entire church, give us a desire and a hunger to know you through your word. And we ask this in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen, amen. Well, thank you guys for joining us.
You.
See you next time.
Yes. Thank
you.